Today's verses will have reference to time or season or the days, answering the question, what time is it, according to the Bible? Before we look at the positive answer, what time is it, I will first read some ideas of what time we don't want it to be. Here's this obscure 2 Chronicles 15:3. For many days, Israel was without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. We don't want that to be our times, without a true God, without teaching, without the law. Another time we don't want it to be is referenced in Hebrews 11:25, and that's the phrase, Moses rejected the, quote, pleasures of sin for a season. Of course, there can be some degree of pleasurability, short-term, long-term, a mess. We don't want 2020 to result in a mess. So we don't want a time without a true God, and we don't want the pleasures of sin shortly and then soon leading to a mess. Also, what time it is not, Acts 1, 7, and 8, Jesus said, it is not time for you to know the times of the seasons. And then he went on to say, but you shall be witnesses unto me. I would say it's not time to deal with endless debates, theological and ethical, on secondary things. It's not time for speculations and then never do any evangelism. Will that be sufficient for what time it is not? Now, I could have made notes. I decided not to, because if we made notes, then we all know where we're going. I'd rather we don't know where we're going till we get there. Here we go. If you'll turn to Romans 13, it's time to wake up in Romans 13. Okay, Romans 13:11, it's time to wake up. Do this, knowing the time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation, that would be the second coming, and salvation from the presence of sin, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. Time to wake up. Well, I sort of assume our church is already awake, but the command would be no complacency, no superficiality, taking the Lord Jesus Christ seriously and what he wants to do with us and through us seriously. So time to wake up. Very often Esther comes to mind. Esther 4:14, for such a time as this. It's our time. God has a plan for each one. It's a time not to be complacent, not to be superficial, not to just say we have, quote, fire insurance, we're going to heaven when we die, but we're still here. So time to wake up. Or Ephesians chapter 5, making the most of your time. King James is redeeming your time because the days are evil, but newer translation, Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time. 1 Peter 4:3 has the idea there's already been enough wasted time. The time is already past, is sufficient. Then he gives a list of things that shouldn't go in that direction. So, no more time to waste, time to wake up. They're all going to be W's. So the second one is it's time for real worship. And we turn to John 4 for that. And Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and sometimes we could say the Samaritan woman at the well. So, John chapter 4, and he will tell us what time it is now. Time to wake up, Romans 13, time for worship, John chapter 4. And our main verse is verse 23, but we can go up above it a little bit to verse 21 and work our way down. John 4:21, to begin reading. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, a time, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain," it's Samaritan mountain, "nor in Jerusalem temple will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." Main interest, verse 23. "But a time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Well, this is a woman at the well, and she was Samaritan, which is a province in the middle of Israel. And the Samaritans had their own temple. And they're probably near enough to see the mountain on the temple where the Samaritans worshiped. And she just said to him, "Our fathers worshiped over here. You say Jerusalem is the place of the temple." And Jesus answers that question. The Jews were right. The Jews were following the truth. Salvation is of the Jews. The temple in Jerusalem was God's appointed temple, not the second one that they made in Samaria. But for our purposes, Jesus goes on to say, the hour is coming and now is when you don't need to go to any temple to worship God. Jerusalem was the true temple, but the hour in Jesus' time was right upon them, where you worship God right where you're at. And all believers go into the presence of God, where two or three are gathered, there am I in their midst. So don't need to go to a special place to worship anymore. Anytime a group of believers assembles, it's a place of worship, and it now is. And the Father seeks people in 2020 to worship him. What would worship be? Well, we think of a service, and that's okay, yeah. But worship is mainly an attitude at the service, where we want God to be promoted, we want God to be exalted, we want God to be respected and God to be honored. So when we say worship service, it's certain practices and a certain order and this and that, but it doesn't just, not just liturgical, not just a religious ceremony. It's the attitude of truth and spirit. We're on the inside. We want God to be exalted. We want God to be exalted in each life. We want God to be exalted in our church. We want God to be exalted in 2020. The hour is coming and now is, and God wants people to worship him. Only way to start is to believe in Jesus as Savior. Jesus said that one cannot come to the Father but through the Son. So no location is a place of worship anymore, like in the Old Testament where it had to be in Jerusalem. Every location is open for worship, but we go there first by faith in the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so related to a time for worship is a phrase that we all know. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6:4. So 2020, if one is not saved, it is the time to be saved. And then after that is the time for worship. Wanting God to be advanced and get all the attention. Holiness comes to mind. Holiness actually means separated. And we rightfully often think of holiness as separation from sin. And God is separated from sin and he's ethically holy. But he's also personally holy in that he is separate above us and away from us in ability. He has all these attributes. He is present everywhere. He has all power. He lasts forever in eternity past and eternity future. So worship is, God, you are holy, separate from sin, but you are separate from our limitations. And that by holiness, we want him to be exalted. Psalm 34, 1, we couldn't look them all up. I will bless the Lord at all times. 2020 is among all times, time for worship. Psalm 115, 18. But his will for us is the Lord. And I don't have it anymore. But Psalm 115, verse 18, if you want to look it up later. So 2020 is time to wake up. That's point number one. Point number two, time to worship. We could go to another one for point number three, but rather than turn to another one, we'll stay in John 4. But the new point is, it's time to work. That's John 4. Okay, but we go further to verse 34 and 35. He said, it's time to worship. The hour is previously. Now, verse 34 and 35, it's time to work. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest. So earlier, time to worship, the hour is. Here, time to get busy, time to work. When he says, look at the fields, you'll see them white, he's probably talking about the people coming. In those days, they would wear linen when it was hot. And linen is whitish. A natural linen is a little bit like grain, a little bit more golden than pure white. We could put it in the whitish category, but it's a little bit more like light grain colored. And when he says, look over there, you would see all these people wearing their linen clothes, and they're all coming. So he says, look at the fields, all these people running to here. At the well. They're coming, the woman at the well invited them, and they're all coming. He says, look at the fields, and you'll see all this grain-colored apparel, and here they come, and it's time to be busy. I almost wanted to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, where he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So it's Jesus' work, but he involves us in it. And one sows and one reaps, and there's all kinds of workers, and they're doing Jesus' harvest, but he says there are very few people doing it. Relative to evangelism, I don't think very many people do it. I really don't. I think that we all know that it's dear to the heart of God, that people hear about salvation in his son. But I think very few people do it. And if you were to rank the commands, you know, we got thou shalt not, but if you rank thou shalt, what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to tell those that we come in contact with that they can trust Jesus as Savior and have forgiveness and have eternal life. So that's very dear to God. And there have been times when you have a choice of what do you do? What do you do? And if you forgive me for using myself as an example, I'll always say you can't leave out evangelism. That's why I did Families of the Mentally Ill Project. You can't leave it out. Look at the fields. They're white to harvest. The laborers are few. So number three, we need to work. Wake up. Romans 13, worship, John 4, and we use John 4 for work also, although we could have used Matthew 9, 37, and 38. Now, time to give attention to the Word, and if we can do two verses for this section, we'll have Joshua 1, and Hosea 10. I think you'll know both of them, although the reference to Hosea might seem a little odd that we don't know Hosea, but if we know any verses in Hosea, it will be Hosea 10. And we'll look at Joshua 1, 8, then Hosea 10, 12. So what time is it? And we're all doing W's. Time for the Word. Weren't doing W's, we'd say time for the Bible, but time for the Word, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Day and night, meditate, day and night. Psalm 1, 2 said the same thing. We've used it a lot in our 9:15 service, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Psalm 16, 7, my mind instructs me in the night. I would imagine the person wakes up and thinking about truth. How many people live like that? How many people live like, I'm thinking about God's truth day and night. I wake up and think about God's truth. If we're not careful, we have the same thing as we do with the laborers or few. So how many people actually live? There's time for the Word, or in today's time period, time for the Word in 2020. Let's look at Hosea 10, verse 12, which again, I think you'll know. Even though Hosea is not well known, I think we'll know the last line, last few lines of Hosea 10:12. So with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground, and here's our line, for it is time to seek the Lord. What time is it? Meditate on the Word of God day and night. What time is it? Time to seek the Lord in 2020. Well, how do we find out God's mind and thoughts? How do we find out God's feelings and emotions? How do we find out God's choices of what He wants done, His desires and His will? Well, it goes to the Bible, even though that's less clear here in this verse 12, but how are you going to seek the Lord without it? Very, very limited truths by sitting out on a rock somewhere and thinking about God and looking up at the stars. I mean, some, but very little. We mainly seek God by looking at the Bible. We are not farmers, and some have a little bit of background, but maybe we still can catch the figure of speech in verse 12. The figure of speech is a ground that hasn't been farmed, a fallow ground. No one did anything. No one plowed it. No one cultivated it. No one planted any seeds. And the verse would be saying it's time for that to end. Time to work on a future harvest of righteousness. How will we promote righteousness? Planting it now and seeing it grow and harvesting it later, say in the year. How will we get a crop of kindness later? Well, we can't get there if we don't do anything, and we can't get there if we have what is called then and now, but less known, fallow ground. Now, despite those words, I actually think people in our church do seek the Lord and are seeking the Bible. And so, that being the case, we're further along than doing nothing. I don't think our lives are a field full of weeds and trees, a totally fallow ground that hasn't been worked on by the farmers. think we're a little ahead of that. And so maybe to partially apply the time period of Hebrews 5:12, by this time you ought to be teachers. We don't think we have lives that are uncultivated and unplowed, but we ought to be ahead of that. I think we are ahead of that. In applying that line, by now you ought to be teachers, at least in the sense of knowing the answers. Not that everybody teaches in a church, but everybody can teach other people in conversations. We ought to be a little bit ahead of that by following the Word of God. We ought to be ready to give answers, ready to give answers to questions and counseling to people with need. So what time is it? Time to wake up. Time to worship. Time to work. Time for the Word. The next one is Isaiah 50. And that one is not well known, but I thought we ought to include it. And we'll call it Time for Giving Wisdom to Others. Time for Giving Wisdom, Isaiah 50. And verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4 is a good application. I think if we apply it to our lives, it's fascinating. It doesn't have the word time in it, but it has the word morning by morning. So we would say day by day. Here's Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Fascinating. How to sustain the weary one with a word. What does God want us to do in 2020? Sustain the weary ones. Give them wisdom. Give them counseling. Technically, this verse probably does apply to the Messiah. He is actually the top servant of God. He came into this world to sustain us. He came into this world to give us help while we're all worn out. But applying it to ourselves, God wants us this next year to give wisdom to the weary. And they are weary. If they're not biologically worn out, they are emotionally worn out. And they are relationally worn out. And there's lots of exhausted people out there. And when we say we give them the word, this is kind of counseling. Now we give theological and doctrinal truths to questions, but this is more like they're all worn out. They're ready to collapse. And morning by morning, God wakes us up to go sustain the worn out people. They're all around us. So what is next year? Time to give God's wisdom to other people. We're moving on now. I'll review them all in a moment. We got six of them coming up. There's a total of seven. And it's interesting, some of the lyrics of the songs we've sung this morning, but we did sing Isaiah 40:31 in the first service. It's time to wait when we don't know the answer. And for a good New Year's thought, that would be Ecclesiastes 3. You'll know that right away when we get to Ecclesiastes 3. I will read Ecclesiastes 3, and then some others will quote. Verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. A time for babies give birth. A time for losing people. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill. Sounds like police and army. A time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart, a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. There's Solomon. He talks about, number one, God controls everything. Number two, it might go in any direction. And there will be days and we don't know. Up, down, left, right, good, bad. Maybe back and forth as the time goes on. God does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. The Bible does not change. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words will not pass away. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus does not change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some important eternal things never change. But the calendar changes, and everything can go in different directions. My main point here, though, is sometimes we don't know. We don't know which way it's going to go next week, next month, next year. And it could go up and down all in the same year. Proverbs 3:5 and 6 come to mind, especially the part, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Little phrase, Proverbs 3:5 and 6, lean not to your own understanding. That's like this. Doesn't make sense. I don't know which way it's going. Or it goes one way, then it turns around and goes the other way. And Proverbs 3:5 and 6 is trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge His authority. You know, do what it says to do. And He'll direct the paths in the areas that we don't understand or might not be able to fix. Now we see 1 Corinthians 13 as looking in a mirror dimly. King James, darkly. I don't understand every day, every direction it's going. And the point is, well, then wait on the Lord. Do what we know to do is right. Believe what we know is right. In other ways, we can't lean to our own understanding because it may not make sense any given day. But we wait on the Lord. Proverbs 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. And then again, Isaiah 40:31. Those were the lyrics in our praise song. Yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. And then the reference to flying like eagles and gaining strength to walk and run. There will be times this next year we can't figure it out. I will have to wait. If you'll let me use it again, blessed are the flexible. It's not in the Beatitudes. Jesus didn't say it that way, but I think that's what those verses mean when it says wait. I think it's what it means. They don't have the phrase, blessed are the flexible. I think that's what it means. Lean not to your own understanding. And wait on the Lord. Then He'll direct our paths. So God does control world history. God does control national history of the United States. God does control each individual's lifetime. We may not understand it right now, but can't always. The Lord directs our steps. I think it's Jeremiah 10:23. Ecclesiastes 3 is saying, could go anywhere. God is in control. Wait on the Lord. So what time is it? Time to wait on the Lord. So I have heard some people tell that there is no individual destiny. They say that the apostles and prophets had destiny, but not ordinary people. I heard that years ago. I thought it was dumb then. I think it's dumb now. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about the sparrows and God watches the sparrows and He knows the lifespan of the sparrows and He knows about the lilies, He certainly knows about us. So I do believe God has a destiny for us, even if we don't understand everything day by day. So that makes sense to me that we will trust him. Proverbs 31:5, my time is in your hands. So if you want to add verses, my time is in your hands. Proverbs 31:5, Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. So we'll wait on the Lord. I did put Psalm 90 in here too, Psalm 90 verse 12 in here too, that we had for our scripture reading. Psalm 90 is an interesting psalm. They're nearly all by David or Asaph. They're nearly all in that time period. Psalm 90 is from Moses. Very few psalms from Moses. And in Psalm 90, Moses makes this point that's commonly known. Lifespan is 70 or 80. Okay, Moses lived longer. So some people do, but average some 70 or 80. But he says that to make our point in our scripture reading. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So very commonly well known, average lifespan 70 or 80, way back when Moses wrote it. But the point of saying that is prioritize the days. Don't waste the time. Use them. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will do it. Psalm 37, verse 5. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. That brings us to our last point for today. I'll review them all in a minute. They're all W's, if you make them W's. But 2020 is a time for war. We could say time to be a soldier. We could say time to fight, but a time for war. Let's look at Ephesians 6, and we'll quote a few others after we look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is well known as the paragraph, put on the whole armor of God. And then it basically keeps using the word stand over and over again to stand on that battle line, to stand right there and don't retreat. We'll look at Ephesians 6, then Ephesians 13, which will have the word day in it, time period. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Then you know the rest. Put on the armor. Verse 12, we're fighting. Verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, verse 14. So technically, what time is it in verse 13? It's an evil time. But the command here is it's time for war. It's time to fight. Also in here, as we know the schemes of the devil, the original word is methodios. We know the methods of the devil. Have to fight. We don't mean a literal battle, but we do mean an ideological battle. We do mean a ethical battle. We do mean truth is truth, and we have to stand for it and not back up. And we do mean right is right, and evil is evil, and we have to stand on that line. Another battle reference or time for war is in 2 Timothy 2. I didn't pick it because it doesn't have the word evil day in it. And we're looking at verses that have time and day and season and so forth. But 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 tells us to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then it says, no soldier has entangled himself in the affairs of this life so that it may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Entangled himself in the affairs of this life. It didn't have the word day in it, but it's kind of close. Day to day, everyday goals. And if we're not careful, everyday goals that the world gives us. And being entangled in it. What are we going to do with life? Well, they'll tell you what to do. They'll have a list of our priorities. They'll have a list of our goals. They'll say, this is how you ought to live in 2020. Mostly get their approval. Mostly do what makes them happy and gives them power and gives them fame. Mostly do that. But good soldiers don't entangle themselves with everyday affairs. Anybody who's been a soldier and anybody who's been in combat would say, we're too busy fighting to do this other stuff. All the monotony. So what about 2020? Don't entangle ourselves in nonsense. Even if it's not wrong, don't give all time to it. Don't give all energy to it. We are in a fight. Always have been. It seems to be getting a little bit worse, but we always have been in a fight. Getting kind of back to the first point where time to wake up, because American Christians are very complacent, very non-serious. I always remember a friend of mine that did Muslim missionary work in North Africa where people did get killed all the time. And he talked about it in a church and he gave a missions report. Then it was prayer time. And everybody was praying about their lawns and their swimming pools. Literally, that's what he called. He called me and told me that. What is the matter with these people? We just gave a full report of people getting their heads cut off, and then we had a prayer time, and nobody mentioned it, and they all mentioned this stuff. It's back to nobody who's a real soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. I don't mean we don't do our jobs, you know. Take care of the house, take care of the lawn, but entangle, roped into it, away from the fight, away from the battle. We're in a war, and some of this stuff isn't all that important when you think about it. And Paul said in the last days, perilous times will come, and he said that evil people and imposters will get worse and worse. Seems like they are. And he said that people in that time will want their ears scratched. In other words, tell them what they want to hear. There's a typical goal for politics or for religion. Just tell them what they want to hear. Where by contrast, in Ephesians 6 and 2 Timothy 2, we have to fight. What time is it? The time for war. Now let's review these. What time is it in 2020? Time to wake up if we aren't already awake. No complacency, no dozing, Romans 13. What time is it? Time to worship. The hour now is, and God seeks people to worship Him. What does that mean? The attitude, I'll promote God in 2020. I will advance God in 2020. I will exalt God in 2020. Time to work. Laborers are few. Another one we didn't use, Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing. Number four, time for the word. Day and night, says Joshua 1 and Psalms 1 and Hosea 10:12, time to seek the Lord. Time to give God's wisdom to the weary. They're all over the place. The worn out and exhausted are all over the place. Number six, time to wait. If we don't have all of the problems solved, if we don't have all of the answers yet, just lean not to our own understanding, trust in God anyway. And it's a time for war. Again, not a time to be entangled, all tied up in nonsense. Not a time for that. Not a time for a year to waste. For God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 1:6. How long will he do it? He who begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Let's pray together, please.